Good to see you. Let's open up to Ephesians chapter 6. Open up your Bibles. We'll get started. We've got a lot to do tonight, you guys. I just ask for your patience. You guys will engage. You guys will pay attention. You're going to learn a lot tonight if you just focus on everything that we're talking about, because I'm going to teach for a little while longer tonight, but you guys are going to get a lot more out of it, okay? So get to Ephesians chapter 6, and I'll pray. Lord, thank you so much. God, we are in a battle every single day, Lord, and it's hard to think about it sometimes, God, because there's a lot of people and a lot of things we don't see, but God, all around us is a spiritual battle, God, and we are in it whether we like it or not, God, and we can choose to engage in this war, God, or we can choose to just be civilians who don't do anything about it, Lord, and I pray that tonight, God, we would be bold to enter this fight, Lord, and that we would fight for your side, the good side, the right side, the side of truth. And God, that you would bless us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you saw that clip, I like Iron Man. He's a pretty cool cartoon. Lisa actually just bought me a t-shirt of Iron Man the other day. Well, there's a reason he's called Iron Man, obviously. And that's because he has a suit that is constructed of iron, right? Pretty easy to understand. I remember thinking how cool it was when I see that guy get all suited up. And now that he's suited up, he can deflect bullets. He can deflect anything that's thrown at him. I remember thinking, man, I can't wait until I get myself one of those suits, right? That'd be sweet. Can you imagine I came to preach and I was all beep, RoboCop style or something? But, well, we may not be as far off as we think. Check out this picture. This is called the Bionic Warrior. Apparently for the U.S. military, they've been looking into a new suit of armor for some time now. And here are some of the features. Get this. This is amazing. This suit will be able to match your surroundings no matter where you are. So if you're in the middle of a forest, you've just become green. If you're in the middle of a snowstorm, you have just become white. That's amazing. It also has a strap-on exoskeleton with powered joints that will quadruple the strength of your leg and the strength of your back. It will enable a soldier to carry 300 pounds of weight on their back and only use 10% of their actual body weight, only 10% of their ability. How amazing is that? The helmet up there has a built-in gas mask, as well as its voice-activated satellite communications. And here's one of the coolest parts. It'll allow you to speak English, and if you're talking to somebody who, say, speaks French, it'll translate your English right into French so that person can listen to you. How amazing is that, right? Well, the report said that we could see these things on our U.S. Army as soon as 2020. And the reason I did all this research on armor is because here's the deal. Armor is a very important thing. I mean, if I had to go to Iraq tomorrow and I was given the decision, hey, you can have either two guns or a gun and armor, I would obviously take a gun and armor because armor is very important. One study that I read said as much as 80% of Marine deaths could have been prevented had they had sufficient body armor. How sad, right? How sad that these people, if they only had better protection, better armor, they might still be alive today. Well, today is our fourth week in Sailing the Seas of Treasure Church, and we find out that just like soldiers, every good pirate needs a weapon and some armor. And it's no different for us Christians. We too are called to put on the armor, to fight into a battle. And whether you like it or not, you are engaged in this battle. So today we're going to look at four pieces of armor that every Christian must put on and never, ever take off. We're going to look at four things: the breastplate, the shield, the helmet, and the sword. And just as you wouldn't go to Iraq or a war zone without sufficient armor, you also don't want to travel the seas or live your life without armor as well. And that's why I've named this message, Don't Get Caught Without Your Armor. We're going to see that today we are fighting an invisible, a relentless enemy who wants to destroy us. And that's why we never want to get caught without our armor, because if we do, we'll be just like those Marines. We could have done a lot better if we just had more armor. And we would have had a lot less casualties if we just had more armor. So we want to make sure that we are armored up. So the first point of the night is going to be called the breastplate, which will be found in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11. But before we talk about the armor, here's the thing we need to know, right? We need to know who it is that we're actually fighting. And due to time's sake, this will not be extensive by any means, but I am going to give you guys a little bit of background on who it is that we're actually fighting. Let's look at verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, and against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. So the first thing that it says is we do not fight flesh and blood, meaning that we are not engaged in a battle with physical people. It may turn into a physical fight, but behind all of those spiritual battles lies a spiritual figure, a demonic host. It says that we are in a battle with principalities, with rulers of darkness, with spiritually wicked hosts. So we're not just battling people here, you guys. We're battling powers, and they're satanic powers. And as you see, it's hard to believe because we don't see these things. We can't see the spiritual realm. It's hard to think that right around us right now that there is a war that is waging. And there is. And guess what that war is waging for, everybody? Your souls. Okay? Jesus wants you in heaven. The devil wants you in hell. Pretty simple. You see, when Satan fell, he took one third of all of God's angels with him. This number is innumerable. We don't even know how many one third could be. The good news is that two-thirds stays, but that one-third could have been millions of angels. We have no idea. It's innumerable. And these people became demons, and these are the people that we can thank for so much evil in the world today. And there's a lot to know about demons and Satan, and we could actually spend a whole time learning, the whole night tonight, just learning about those things. But here's the gist of it. God wants you to live for him. Satan wants you to live for the world. Because by doing anything apart from God, your end is the same. It's death and destruction. You see, the devil and the demons are the ones that we are battling. And with this, and the reason is because the time is short and they want to take as many people to hell with them before the time. I don't know if you guys saw Shattered on Halloween. Did anybody see the documentary on Shattered? Okay, a couple of you guys, that's cool. Well, they did a couple interviews in there and it was very crazy to watch. They had a couple interviews with people who were actually in the Church of Satan. Yes, there's actually a Church of Satan. And these people bow down to Satan in hopes that in the afterlife or in hell that he will grant them some sort of presence, some sort of power. But that's such a joke. Satan's actually deceived people into thinking that he loves them or that he has some sort of ability to give power out after he is going to be dealt with. And here's the deal. Hell was not made for man. It was made for Satan. And we all can't wait till the day in Revelation when God finally does away with him forever and throws him into the pit of fire. It's going to be a great day, and we will all watch it happen. And this is why we need armor. This is why tonight we're talking about armor, because all of these things, all of those angels who fell and became demons and Satan, the adversary against God, he wants us all with him. And therefore, we must put on the armor of God if we are to defend ourselves in this spiritual battle. Let's look at verse 13 and 14. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. So, in these verses right here from 10 to 20, there are actually six pieces of armor, but for time's sake tonight, I'm going to go over what I think are some of the most important ones. We're going to go over four of those pieces tonight. As you guys could imagine, from your neck to your belly button holds a lot of important stuff in here, right? A lot of organs, a lot of blood, a lot of things that you definitely need to survive and to live. So the breastplate, as you can see here with that arrow, was a large piece of metal that was made to wear. And this would protect your organs in a battle. But perhaps out of all the organs to protect, the heart is the most important. And so it was very important that the breastplate actually protected your heart. So the breastplate that we speak of here in Ephesians is not one made out of metal, but it is just as good as one. Just as a metal one can deflect bullets, could deflect any sort of material, it says right here in Ephesians that our breastplate is made out of righteousness so that we can defend spiritual attacks. Now, what does it mean to be righteous? Here's two definitions. One, it means to be morally right or justifiable. This means that a person has a very high moral character. Okay, a person with a very high moral character, do you know who this is? This is somebody who maybe it's you, okay? And here's the deal. You go to school, and one of your friends says, hey, dude, we got a science test today. And you're like, I know, and I didn't really do a great job studying. And man, I'm kind of worried about it. And he's like, well, guess what? I got the answers to the test. A person with high moral character would say, hey, you know what, man? That's cool that you got the test. I don't want it. Because I didn't prepare, and therefore by what I can do or can't do, I will either sink or swim, right? This person's either going to say, hey, either I fail because I didn't do the studying, or I'm going to pass because I trust God, right? This is somebody who says, I'm not going to cheat, even though you have the answers. The second definition of righteousness is to be free from sin or free from guilt. This is very easy to understand, because there is only way for any of us in here to be free from sin or free from guilt is to accept the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, to accept his blood and know that he took your place. So the heart is a very vital organ. And of course, in your physical life, it's very important. But also in your spiritual life, the heart is a very important to your body, to your spiritual life. Proverbs 4:23 says, above all else, guard your heart, for out of it spring the issues of life. It says above all, you guys. It says above everything you do, guard your heart. The very things that you keep in your heart will be the very things that you act upon. A person who harbors hatred inside their heart, guess what they are? They hate people. They spew hatred. They talk whatever about people. So what's in your heart will spew out of your mouth. Once again, Satan is the person whom we are battling, as it's told in the scriptures. And here's the deal. Remember what we saw a little while ago in Matthew, if you guys come on the weekend? Satan knows the scriptures. Okay, so Satan knows Proverbs 4:23. And therefore, Satan knows that the heart is the wellspring of life. And so Satan knows that he can poison your heart and get you to do things just by poisoning your heart. So he wants you to think that it's just natural to lust after a boy or girl, or that it's okay to cheat on a test, or that it's okay to be lazy, or it's okay to disobey your parents. But it isn't. The text says, guard your heart. And the only way that you guys can guard your heart is to put on and protect your spiritual hearts by putting on righteousness. This is a great way. And this is the first thing you can do, of course, is to get saved and accept Jesus into your life. And second, by having a high moral standard. That's what it means. Some of you here tonight are leaving your hearts unguarded. And that worries me. You're letting Satan affect your hearts and in turn how you act, because that's all it takes. All he needs to do is implant a little bit of something in your heart, and then you will start to act upon that, because whatever you harbor in your heart is what we said before, you'll act upon. You need to raise your standards, okay? Many of you in here need to raise your standards, because some of you here, you might love the Bible, but you also love to disobey your parents. And some of you here tonight might love Velocity, but you also love to gossip. And some of you here tonight might never do drugs, but you can't even control your mouth. You cuss a lot, and you just say things that are wrong. And so you need to put on the breastplate of righteousness to guard your heart. Let's look at the next point, which is called the shield. The shield is as effective today as it was back in the day of knights and pirates. Police today still use riot shields to guard from anything that's thrown at them. If you've ever seen a videotape of LA riots or anything that goes on, it's still something very much used today. Let's look at verse 16. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you are able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one. So a long time ago, the shield served a very special purpose, and it still does today. When you are attacked by arrows or bullets or any sort of material, you can move the shield and protect yourself, right? Very, very easy to understand that. And so the shield that we use right here in verse 16, it says that it's a shield of faith, okay? Not one of wood or one of metal. But here's the thing. There are two kinds of faith. Number one is saving faith. This is when you're born again, okay? This is the faith that says, hey, I believe that Jesus is who he says he is. I submit my life to him, and now you're saved. You're born again. Romans 10 says, if you confess and believe that Jesus is Lord and that God has raised him from the dead, you are saved. So that's saving faith. But there's also living faith. And this is the faith that the shield is speaking about here. This is faith that you are continuously believing and trusting and loyal to God. Living faith is belief and trust and loyalty to God. So in verse 16, when it says that the shield is of faith, and what can it do? It says that it can quench or put out any of the fiery darts of the wicked one. I did some research, and back in the day, actually, they would take arrows that you've probably seen on movies and things like that, and they would dip it in a substance called pitch. And this pitch was actually distilled tar or petroleum. It was a semi-liquid, and they could set it on fire, and it would burn for a long time, and then they'd be able to just shoot that fiery dart at somebody. Could you imagine a fiery dart being shot at you? Oh my gosh, who wouldn't want a shield if a fiery dart was being shot at you? But here's the deal. The scripture paints a very clear picture that this is what Satan's doing to us every day. He sees you coming, and he's got his fiery dart ready for you. Every day in life, we walk this path with God, and as we're walking along with God, there's somebody up there shooting fiery darts at us. And maybe you're thinking, what are fiery darts? Well, here's what they could be. They're everywhere, and they could be many things. It could be things like anger in your life, bitterness, lust, discouragement, unbelief, laziness, disobedience, drinking, drugs, sex, suicide, cutting, depression, apathy, anything that gets you to doubt your faith in Jesus. And because your faith in God is the only thing that can defend you from the fiery darts, is what it says here, we need to grow in our faith. Because when you don't grow in your faith, you leave yourself open to be hitting by fiery darts and discouragement from the enemy. It's like this, okay? Somebody goes to school, and maybe it's you, okay, you go to school, and you're having a horrible day. Like, it just couldn't get any worse. You didn't do well in school. You just, for some reason, it's just one of those off days. We've all had an off day where things just don't go well. And so Satan sees you and says, aha, here's somebody who's bitter. Let me get my anger arrow right here and line it up and shoot it right at you. And sure enough, if you don't have faith that Jesus is going to help you out through that day, that he is in fact going to pick you up, lift you up, and that he has a future for you, guess what? You're not holding your shield anymore, and you leave yourself susceptible to the fiery darts of Satan. So now you've just been hit with a dart of anger, and so now you're really ticked off about your bad day. So you're like, I'm having a bad day, and now I'm mad about it. And now I'm going to take it out on people, and now I'm going to not want to listen to what my parents say. I don't want to hear what my teachers have to say. And it just spirals down and down. That's somebody who's not using a shield of faith to block the fiery arrows. But here's how somebody could do that. Say you're having a horrible day, again. But you say, hey, I have so much faith, and I believe that God is who he says he is, and that he promised me that even in the darkest of times and my horrible days that he'll never leave or forsake me, that my God knows my cry, hears my cry, knows I'm having a horrible day. But I can get through this without being bitter, without being angry. And so Satan says, hey, here's a person having a horrible day, and he lines up his anger thing again, but as he goes to shoot you, because of your faith, you can shield yourself. And now that fiery dart that could have turned into anger has turned into nothing. It's turned into more faith and trust in God. The shield of your faith, as Paul, the writer of Ephesians, is talking about here, could be applied to anything that the devil shoots at you. Any of the promises that any of the promises of God can work in this situation. Even having a great day, you guys. Think of you having a great day. Guess what Satan does when you're having a great day? He shoots his little arrow, but in this time, instead of anger and bitterness, it's pride. And so you start saying, I'm having such a great day. I'm so great. And everything's just going so well. And I'm so complacent. And so he loads up his darts, but this time he uses pride. And now he wants you to lift yourself up as if you're more than that. So you see, our enemy and his crew will use any situation, from a horrible day to a great day. They will use it to try to get to you and shoot fiery darts at you. This is why we need to be secure in our faith. This is why we need to be in prayer and in the Word. Because it makes us a lot stronger and less susceptible to fiery arrows of Satan. You need a bigger shield. The only way to grow your shield is to grow your faith. Because here's the deal. When you get saved, it's like, here's your shield. It's just a little shield, okay? And you got to maneuver it around. But as you grow in faith, so does your shield. So once you're strong in your faith and you've been praying a lot, you've been reading your Bible, you're not a new believer anymore. And you know the promises of God, and therefore your shield is now big, and you don't have to do so much to deflect the arrows of Satan. Because your faith is strong, it's a lot easier for you. So when you're in the Word, you know more about the promises of God and what he has to say in many situations you come across in school. And so he turns your little shield into a big shield. And you can do these things by knowing Scripture, right? You see a friend who's like making jokes, right? And you're like, hey man, you know, your jokes are getting out of hand. You know what Ephesians 5:4 says about that? If you don't, you can look it up later. But those are how you do things. You know the Scripture. And you say, I know these things, and I know exactly what the Bible says about these situations. So, a strong faith can put out the fire of the devil. So that's our second piece of armor, was the shield. Let's look up to our next piece, which is called the helmet. There are helmets for all types of things. Here are some funny ones that I saw along the way. That guy's got a fake bird, but that real bird's looking into it. That guy, that's a face on the bottom. Those people had smiley faces. And then they took like a, I don't know what that is, but they made that cat a little helmet. Isn't that hilarious? As you know, the helmet is very important. It's a very important invention, and it has saved many lives. And due to its protection, it saved many lives. And the same is for Christians. Okay, the Christians also need a helmet. Let's look at verse 17. And take the helmet of salvation. That's it. That's all I'm going to read. Take the helmet of salvation. So it says our helmet is not made out of metal. Once again, it's not made out of wood. It's not made out of leather. It's made out of salvation. Salvation is the deliverance from an evil power, deliverance from the power of sin. Salvation is what happens to you guys when you give your life to the Lord. And I know I say it to you guys a lot, but you go to heaven this way, okay? You go to heaven by salvation, by believing that Jesus came and died and that his sacrifice took the place of your death that you deserve for your sin. And now you're looked at as righteous, not by anything that you could ever do, but only by the blood of Christ. So when you've done that and you have salvation, you need to know that you have it. It's yours. 1 John 5:13 says, I write to you these things so that you may know that you are saved. God never wanted you to wonder if you're saved or if you're going to heaven or not. The verse says, so that you can know. If you guys have accepted the Lord Jesus in your heart and you are following him, then know that you are saved and that you have salvation, like it's called here, the salvation, the helmet of salvation. You never need to say, hey man, I really hope I'm going to heaven. You never have to say that. Or you never have to say, hey, well, I guess we'll just see what happens when I die. You never have to say that. And here's the deal. When you guys know something, where is that information stored? If you guys know that 2 plus 2 is 4, where is that information stored? It's obviously stored in your brain. The brain is the processing center of your entire body, an amazing organ. The brain is amazing. I can't believe that people actually believe that the brain just evolved, right? That out of some sludge came a brain. So silly. Here are a couple of amazing things about the brain while we're talking about it. Your brain weighs 3 pounds. Your brain uses 20% of all the oxygen you breathe. There is 100,000 miles of blood vessels in your brain. That's enough to go around the earth 4 times. Just the blood vessels in your brain alone are enough to go around the earth 4 times. There are 1 billion neurons in your brain. Each person has the same amount of brain cells as they did at birth, but the cells grow. And they remain maximum size at age 6. That's insane. A newborn baby's brain triples in size in the first year. That's why you wonder why it's so hard for a baby. It's always like, always falling over, right? Cherish your sleep because sleep is the best time for your brain to file away memories so you'll actually remember things. When you sleep, you're virtually paralyzed because your brain creates a hormone that prevents you from actually acting out your dreams. And about 12% of people don't dream in color, they dream in black and white. It's pretty amazing, right? So you can see why the devil, who we are battling, attacks our brain, and more specifically, our knowledge of salvation. The reason that we need a helmet is because Satan loves to attack the mind and the thoughts. He loves to make us doubt our salvation. I'm sure there's many of you guys in here tonight who've actually doubted your salvation at some point. Maybe you get saved and then you do something wrong and you're like, maybe I'm not saved. That is the devil trying to tell you that you're not saved. This has happened to me, so don't feel bad. Satan loves to play tricks on you. He loves to make you think that maybe you really aren't saved. Well, how could somebody like you really be saved? And that's usually the way it works when he deceives us. And so he gives us the fear of salvation. He wants us to continue to be like, oh, well, maybe I'm not saved. But that's why the Bible says we need a helmet of salvation to protect against Satan infiltrating our minds. Your mind is ground zero for spiritual warfare, and this is why we need a helmet of salvation, meaning that you need to know the promises of God that he's given you through salvation, through Jesus Christ, that it's a promise that cannot be broken. The Bible says that God cannot tell a lie, you guys. And therefore, if he has promised us that by the blood of Christ that we are able to go to heaven, this is something that he cannot take away. This is something that he cannot go back on. I once heard it said that unsaved people don't worry about their salvation. You can understand that. A couple of non-believers, they don't sit up at night wondering, oh, hey, am I saved? Am I going to heaven? They don't care. They're completely comfortable with the life that they're leaving. So when the devil comes and tries to remind you guys of all the things that you've done in your past, I once heard it said, remind him of his future. Remind him that he is going to the lake of fire, that his time is limited, that he will literally burn forever and ever. You need to know the scriptures so that you can say, hey, I know I'm saved and that can never be taken away, and that your helmet of salvation will be secure upon your head, and you know that no matter what lies the devil tells you, that you are indeed saved. But this doesn't mean that you're just going to go on continuing to live the way you used to live, okay? It doesn't mean you're going to continue to live your old sinful life that you were living before your conversion, because that's not a true conversion. True salvation doesn't mean perfection, okay? When you're saved, it doesn't mean you're going to automatically be perfect, but it means that you are growing in righteousness, and that you're being sanctified, you're being set apart, that I can tell the difference, that people can tell the difference between your life and somebody who's still in the world. That's what it means to have a helmet of salvation. Well, let's look at our last piece of armor tonight, which is called the sword. It's going to be found in verse 17. So if you guys haven't noticed, up until now, all of the pieces of armor that we've been talking about, they've all been defensive, meaning that these are things that are going to protect you from enemy fire. And out of the six pieces, I know we're only talking about four that are mentioned, only one is actually used to fight with, right? We said that the breastplate of righteousness was to protect the heart, that the shield of faith was to protect you from fiery darts of Satan, and that the helmet of salvation was to protect your brain, to protect your thoughts from the evil one. But now we're going to look at the only weapon. Out of all the armor of God, this is the only weapon that we are able to wield. Let's look at verse 17 again. And take on the helmet of salvation, we read that, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So out of all the weapons that God could have chosen for us to use, he says that the one weapon, the one sword that we will be wielding, that we'll be using, will be the word of God. You guys have the word of God in your hands right now. We all have this. Look at that. That's amazing. In the Bible, we talked about how we're not battling physical beings. You guys said that we're battling spiritual things like Satan and demons. And therefore, the weapons that would work on a physical person like a gun or a real sword, those things don't work on spiritual things. They don't work on spiritual things. So, we have to use the things that will work in a spiritual battle. And the most effective weapon that we have is the very word of God. Paul, when he's talking about a sword here, he's actually referring to a small 6 to 8 inch knife that was carried by all Roman soldiers. It was something that no matter what they were doing or where they were, they could always pull it out and use it at any time. It was very accessible. The same is for us. The Bible can be used in battles that we come across every day in our lives. Just like a sword, though, it needs to be used in the right way, right? You can't just start wielding around a sword if you don't know how to use it. The same is for us, okay? We need to use it with skill. Let me explain this. The word that they use in here for the word, when it says that the sword is the word, it's not the word logos, which is the general reference of Scripture. When they say logos, it means the word, the general Bible as a whole, the word of God. The word that they actually use is rhema or rhema, which is a specific word which is used for specific words or an individual scripture. Let me give you an example. If you guys remember in our Kingdom Come series in Matthew, we just talked about the temptations of Jesus. And in Matthew chapter 4, Satan tempts Jesus with hungerness, right? Jesus is starving. He's been fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. And Satan comes over and says, hey, if you're so hungry, just make that piece of rock a piece of bread. And Jesus says, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. This scripture that Jesus uses is very specific. This is Deuteronomy 8:3. So you can see that Jesus used a very specific thing in defending the devil. He didn't just say something generic. He didn't say, oh, hey, Satan, somewhere in the Bible it says that you shouldn't, food, bread, I can't remember, but you shouldn't be tempting me, right? He doesn't say that. Or he doesn't say, hey, I can't remember that scripture real well, but there's somewhere in the Bible that says that what you're doing is wrong. He took the sword of the scripture and he hit the devil right where it hurts. Okay? He said, with authority, that this, it is written, you shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. He said it very boldly. And so we need to use specific words as well when we come across spiritual battles in our lives. Example, say somebody at school is like, hey man, you want to, hey dude, I got somebody to buy me some beer. You want to go after school and drink a couple of these things? Instead of saying, oh hey, somewhere in the Bible it says that we're not supposed to drink alcohol. I think it says somewhere in there. And that kid you're with is like, all right. Instead, you could say, hey, Ephesians 5:18 says, do not get drunk for it leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. That's how you precisely use the sword. Or somebody asks you, hey man, what's the deal with you, dude? Why aren't you going to have sex before marriage? Like, how come you don't do that? Instead of saying, oh, because the Bible says that we shouldn't do those things. You could say, because Romans 6:13 says, do not offer the parts of your body as sin, but rather offer yourselves to God. What a difference, right? If I told you guys, hey, the Bible says that you should go out there and be good Christians. But if I gave you a specific verse, it means so much more. The Bible is telling us that when you're tempted or you're in a battle, that the way to win the battle is to not generically use scripture, but it's to say with all boldness and all proclamation that corresponds to your situation, right? Whatever you're dealing with, you need to say, this is how it's going. And that's how you specifically use the sword as a weapon, not as a somebody who doesn't know how to wield it. I read a story on the internet about a couple of guys who tried to rob this guy. Listen to this. 3:30 a.m. Wednesday morning in Minneapolis apartment, a dweller was forced to defend himself with his friend's sword. Okay, so apparently this guy had like a knight's sword that he like collected or something like that, like a gigantic one, maybe something like that. And so a couple of burglars come in and check this out. According to police, once the burglars were inside, they got in a fight with one of the residents who grabbed his roommate's sword and started slashing at the intruders. He feistily attacked and sent the invaders running. And then they didn't catch him until the criminals went to the hospital because each one of them had a severed finger. Yikes, right? Well, that's somebody who doesn't know how to use a sword, right? They're not using it surgically. They're using it like, just like, get out of the way. But we don't want to be those people. We don't want to just knock people over with scripture and say, oh, the Bible says this about your situation. We need to find out exactly what it's saying. It's important that you guys are studying the topics that you face every single day. If you're faced with sexual pressure, then find out what the Bible says about sexual pressure. If you guys are tempted to cuss, then find out what the Bible says about cussing. If you're looking into suicide or cutting or depression, the things that the enemy's trying to attack you with, know what the Bible says about these things and hit Satan where it hurts. To help you guys, on the way out, I'm going to give you guys each one of these packets. It's a really great packet that Kevin and I made like 6 months ago. And it's got all the scripture that you guys need in here for some really important things. I encourage you guys to take one out, to take one. They're free. I got enough for all of you guys. And they're everything from abuse to self-abuse to eating struggles, suicide, rape, abortion, unwed pregnancy, pornography, homosexuality, sibling rivalry, peer pressure, bullies, cheating, decision-making, profanity. It's all in this packet, as well as a bunch of information that we've put together for you guys. This is the next step for you guys, okay? So you can stop just being generic in your faith and start being specific and knowing the Bible verses that correspond to the things that are going on in your life. So going back to the beginning, you can see that armor is very important in battle. But even more, it's more important for the battle for your soul. Just like the story says, you guys, you do not want to be caught without your armor. There's no sense in going to battle every single day without your armor. There's no sense in going without the gear that you need. I mean, who would want to go with just a sword or just the breastplate or just a helmet? If I'm in battle with some dude and all he has is a helmet, I'm probably not going to shoot him in the helmet. I'm going to shoot him in the chest. Pretty easy to understand. And if he has just the chest, then I'm probably going to shoot him elsewhere, right? You're not going to shoot him where he has armor. And the same is for the devil, you guys. The devil attacks you where you lack armor. And so that if you don't have high moral standards, then you need to start living up to God's moral standards. And that is how you can obtain a breastplate of righteousness. And if you're taking darts on the chest, then you obviously need a shield of faith. You need to know that God's promises, that's your faith, are true, and that in the good times and in the bad times, you can rely on these things. And when you do that, guess what? You've just picked up the shield now. And if your head and therefore your thoughts are uncovered, then you need a helmet of salvation. So when the devil comes to invade your thoughts and your security, you can rest assured and know that you are saved and that you've made a confession to Christ, and now you're following him, and therefore you are assured this salvation. And lastly, what good soldier has no weapon? You can't just go out into a battle zone with a bunch of armor. You'll never be able to do any damage. So yes, we need the shield. Yes, the helmet. Yes, the breastplate. But we also need the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, to precisely hit the devil where it hurts and to grow our faith. And I hope you guys will study the areas where you're most vulnerable in. Because if our enemy knows the weakness, then how can we not know our weakness? We need to know that the word of God says that we're going to face these things every single day. And lastly, if there is anybody in here who has yet to receive the Lord Jesus as your Savior, you know what? If somebody in here has yet to do that, you know what you're like? You're like a person who's riddled with fiery darts. If we could spiritually see you, you'd have so many darts sticking out of your chest and your head and your legs that we wouldn't even be able to see you. Because a person who doesn't have Jesus is just an easy target for Satan. He just says, bam, anger, bitterness, sex, anything else that he can throw at you, and you're like his puppet. Without God, you'll do whatever he wants because it's in your heart and because he's put that in your heart. So I pray that tonight you would be bold, if anybody here has not done that, to give your life over to God. And just like it says in verse 13, take up the whole armor of God. And if we do this, that we won't be stronger than iron physically, but we'll be stronger than iron spiritually. I'm going to have Ryan come up and play one last song. I'm just going to be right here, you guys, and leaders can be over here. And if you guys have something you want to pray about, let's pray about it. Let's get it over with and start looking into your faith. But God, guys, I just pray that you'd take a packet on the way out and you'd learn your weaknesses. And that you'd look exactly into the things that you need help with. Okay? So, and if you need anything, I'll be right there. If anybody's yet to make a commitment to God and you have fiery darts sticking out of you, let's pull those out tonight. Let's get rid of them. Don't be that person who's a puppet for Satan and is just bringing more evil into this world. So if you guys need anything, we'll be over there to pray for you, to do anything for you. We love you. Let's pray. And Jesus, thank you so much. God, that you've pulled out all the arrows that are stuck in us, Lord. Thank you for arming us, God. You haven't left us in this world alone. You haven't left us without protection. God, you've given us all the things that we need. And God, I just pray that we'd be bold enough to pick these things up, to put them on, and to wear them, and to never take them off, God. Lord, there's a battle around us, and you see it. And we cannot be ignorant to these things, God. I know you don't want us to be. Just because we can't see them doesn't mean that they do not exist. And therefore, God, I pray that you would open our eyes to the spiritual warfare that's going around us, and that we need to engage in the battle and do it for your glory and for your side, so that someday we can be done with all of this and be next to you in eternal glory. We love you, Jesus. In your name we pray.